My name is Joan Hunt. I'm a pastor in Portland, Oregon, currently serving in campus ministry at Portland State University. I started there May 1st. This is a participatory Bible study about the image of God and being made in the image of God. And I would like to give credit and thanks to my good friend, Deaconess Donna King, Lutheran campus minister at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon, for developing this Bible study. Moses in the Old Testament wanted to see God and told God so. And God said, "Well, you can't see me and live, but tell you what, Moses, if you like to see part of me, I'll put you in a cleft in a rock, and you can peek out of the little hole, and I will pass by, but not my face. You can't see my face. I'll only show you my backside." Which is a reminder to us that God is bigger than we can imagine or ever experience all of. But Scripture certainly gives us hints and facets and beams of light about what God is like by means of the many, 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 many images that are used for God and for our relationship with God throughout the whole Scriptures. Today we're going to look at several of those images and see what they tell us about God's image and being made in the image of God. So taking your piece of paper, here are my beginning instructions. And your pencil. I would like you to draw a circle on your piece of paper as big as you can. That means something like this, you know? A big circle.
Okay, now who still doesn't have paper and pencil?
And as you can see, it doesn't have to be round, it just has to be approximate. As Carol says, maybe draw a potato if not a circle. Next, bisect your circle and then divide it into four parts. You're going to make a pie out of this circle. And all together, I want you to have eight slices in your pie. This is the Bible study. Welcome. Good morning. Everyone today needs a piece of paper and a pencil. This is a participatory Bible study.
Okay, here's paper. Here are some pencils, but I think those are all the ones I have that are sharpened. So I'm going to go sharpen some more. Okay.
I hope by now everyone has or will have a piece of paper with a nice big circle on it, divided into eight slices. We're going to be looking at eight images of God from the Old, mostly from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. I hope that these will be images of God that you haven't often considered in close detail, because that's part of the fun of this Bible study is the freshness of the view that we get. And here's how the study goes. I'll give you a Bible reference and an image of God. We'll look it up and talk about it together. And each image will go in a different slice of the pie. So let's take the first one, for example. In the Psalms, particularly, God is often called a rock. So the first images of God as rock. An example, you can write on your paper, you can write inside your pie slices.
Yes.
In fact, I'll show you. I'll do it as a rock. And Psalm 62 is an example of this.
Psalm 62.
So, we turn to Psalm 62.
Holy cow.
Remember, if you open your Bible right to the middle, there's Psalms. Huh? Right. Or Proverbs. Thank you. Proverbs is right after Psalms, so if you find Proverbs, just go back one. Psalm 62 reads like this at the beginning. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Then if we go to the end of the psalm, that's repeated again in verse 5 and 6 and 7. What is this image of God as a rock about? What is a rock like? Now I want you to think of adjectives and verbs that describe what rock-likeness is.
Strong.
Long-lasting.
Long-lasting. So what you're going to do now is write down some of these words in your pie slice. Strong, long-lasting, what else?
Solid.
Sometimes immovable.
Immovable.
Hard and cold.
Hard, cold.
Or warm.
Or hot if the sun's out.
If the sun's out, it can be very warm. It can have bake on it.
And some are very beautiful.
And beautiful. And another image that comes from the psalm itself is safe.
Protection.
Refuge. The idea of this is you just keep going until your pie slice is filled up. You write as many as you can think of. And as we do the next ones, I'll have you just sit there and jot some down to yourself. And then we'll call some out. And
secure base.
Good. And the ones that you write down will be important ones, and ones you hear other people say, you can add to your own list. So we'll help each other out.
You know, there are rocks that are soft. There are rocks that flake.
There are flaky rocks, too.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's
that.
The rest of
your
look at a flake.
We are in God's image, and I am positive that there are flaky
rocks. Something's got to be flaky.
You can skim something off.
All right. The next image of God that we're going to consider is in Genesis 7. No, I'm sorry, Genesis 2, 7 through 9. God as potter and gardener. Genesis 2, 7 to 9.
Well, somebody ripped that out of your Bible.
Oh no, ripped out of your Bible.
So good they want to save it.
Here are the images of God as a potter and God as a gardener. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, the clay of the ground, and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what's this picture of God as a potter and God as a gardener? What are potters and gardeners like? Just write down in your own pie slice what comes to mind when you think of gardening or making pots. And then in about a minute, we'll share some of these ideas with each other. Okay, what's important about potters and gardeners?
Creative.
Nurturing.
Nurturing.
Persistent.
They get potted once in a while.
Mercy, did you say?
Mercy.
Patient.
Eye for detail.
Skillful. Shaper. Molder.
In charge.
Okay, keep going. I'm on fire.
Provider.
Imaginative.
Necessary.
Say that one again.
Visionary?
Yeah.
Not afraid to get dirty.
Use the elements.
Green thumb.
Gentle, strong.
Gentle, strong.
They like to display their things.
They like to display their things.
This is true of gardeners, but not potters. Gardeners like things to be orderly.
And potters do not.
I don't know.
Orderly gardeners and unknown about potters.
Some gardeners just like to have profusion.
Profusion. Yes. Variety, multiplicity.
Wild seed.
Abundance.
Just grow everything.
Right. Liberality.
You said plant, Mary, plan over here. You don't know what you're gonna do ahead.
Got to plan and know what you're gonna do ahead of time. Potters are willing to make mistakes and start over.
You got to work up the soil.
So are gardeners. And you got to work up this stuff until it's, so you got to work with your elements until they're ready to go. Gosh, are you out of space in your pie slice by now? Okay.
There we go.
Next image of God. God is our help. We'll look at Psalm 70 for this one. It comes from many other psalms, in fact, a lot of places in the Bible as well, particularly the Old Testament. God is our refuge and our help. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we'll look at Psalm 70 then, which takes up this theme. Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. What's this image of help about?
Deliverer.
Help, help,
help, help. So this is emergency response.
Yeah, right.
The first response team.
Deliverer is the other word that's used there.
Uh-huh, deliverer is the word that's used right along with help. So what about somebody who responds in an emergency? What about them? Just remember, write your pie slices and then we'll share. What about someone who responds in an emergency or answers a call for help? What are they like?
Rescuer.
Risk-taker.
Risk-taker.
Unselfish.
Unselfish.
They act rather than thinking. Yeah, than question.
Act promptly. How about you say act promptly?
Problem solving.
They act out of knowledge.
Right, expertise.
Confident. Encourager.
Confidence. Encourager.
Caregiver. Always available.
Available.
Yeah.
Oh, dependable.
Dependable.
Caregiver.
Caregiver. Cool in a crisis.
Dependency.
Constant.
Dependency.
Dependable.
Depend. What do you mean by dependency? That one.
Dependency. There is a dependency.
The ones who receive help depend on the one who gives help.
Which also starts to describe the other.
Yeah. Right. Some more.
Codependent.
Codependent. Yes. Interdependent. Okay.
I didn't even say interdependent.
A helper has to. Also learn while doing, or learn on the spot.
Yeah, you learn on the job, or you make decisions and invent as you go along. Improvise, too. If you haven't got a splint, you might use a tree or something.
It's like situational stuff.
Yes, real contextual situation. Just for people who like Bible details, the word help or helper in Hebrew, it's there, or sometimes it appears, you know, in Hebrew there's
three significant letters in each word, and then they just put different vowels with them. Well, this, the three ones are here. So it can appear as Etzer, or also Ezra. Now you know what the name Ezra means. Or Ezra. Ezra means helper, and Etzer means help. This word is used 43 times in the Old Testament. Three quarters of the time it refers to God. About 10 times it refers to general help that people might provide for one another, such as an army might come to help or someone might help somebody out. And twice it is used of the woman that God made for the man. Mm-hmm. We used to think maybe of helpmeet as someone inferior, but you notice here this is actually someone who can help out in a crisis, in a time of need, who can be a valuable assistance, invaluable assistance. Could it be replaced in terms of the situation?
Very close to God. Isn't that in Genesis 3?
Yeah, and the image usually is of God. That's the image of the woman as the help. Yeah. Just wanted to throw that in. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for throwing that in.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now we're going to find Hosea. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. The minor prophets doesn't mean that they weren't important prophets. It means that they have little short books. And there's 12 little short books altogether. But they come after the major prophets, who are called major not because they were so much better thinkers or something, but just because they wrote long books. So we have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then the minor prophets follow Daniel. And Hosea is the first one in the minor prophets, so if you can find those long prophets, just keep going till you come to the end of Daniel and you've got Hosea. Or else look it up in your table of contents. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, verses 3 to 4. This is God talking about Israel. Yet it was I, God, who taught Ephraim, and that's another name for Israel, I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. This is a picture of God as what? Mother, father, parent of infants and toddlers. The leading with cords of human kindness might be a picture trying to, well, like it says, teach a little kid to walk. Okay. So write down what a parent of infant or toddler is like.
Exasperated.
No, on your side, we'll get that. Now, based on this passage in your own experience, what's a parent of infants and toddlers like?
Patient.
Patient.
Gentle persuasion.
Strong-armed persuasion.
Vigilant.
Vigilant.
Tender but firm.
Tender but firm.
Affectionate. Caregiver applies in here.
Caregiver. Nurturer.
Love.
Love.
Unconditional love. Comfort.
Unconditional love. Food.
A hunger and a hunger.
Exasperated. Right.
Yeah.
Hope. That's hope.
A benevolent
dictator.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about hope? What's your thought about hope?
Well, preparing for the children.
Hope for the children.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence in the future if you're.
Or concern.
Or concern for the future.
Mm-hmm. Excited.
Hovering.
Hovering. Yeah, put that too.
Hovering.
Hovering, adoring.
Intimate.
Intimate. Tired. Tired.
Tender.
Tender.
Jealous.
Jealous of what?
Prejudice
and jealous.
As in a jealous God.
Yeah.
As in my kid is
protective,
the best.
That's right. Kid. No kid like my kid.
Sounds like idolatry there.
But it's true about parents of little ones.
Bent and burdened.
Bent and burdened.
Tired.
All right. Now that you've found Hosea, I'm going to let you use it twice. So, Hosea 13. This will be the next pie slice. Hosea 13. This is God talking to Israel again, and God is feeling this exasperation that we just talked about. And not only exasperation, please look at verse 8. God says, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open the covering of their heart. There I will devour them like a lion, as a wild animal would mangle them. God as mother bear. Write down what a mother bear is like in this part. In the pie slice, then we'll share.
Hosea 13, what? 8? Is that it?
13:8.
This is the mother bear.
Mother bear. Mm-hmm. Or a lion or a wild animal.
Nobody.
What are the feelings of a mother bear robbed of her cubs?
Vindictive when necessary.
Vindictive when necessary.
Dangerous.
Fiercely protective.
Dangerous. Fiercely protective.
Angry.
Angry.
Aggressive.
Outraged.
Offended.
Angry. Offended. Outraged.
Consumed.
Consumed and consuming.
Swift and decisive.
Swift, decisive.
Irrational.
Irrational. Acts promptly.
Expeditious.
Expeditious.
But also in terror, grief-stricken.
In terror, grief-stricken.
Killer.
Killer.
Mm. And yet in their process is teaching the cubs for their learning.
Teaching the cubs for their learning, certainly trying to defend them. And this is what mother bears do. They get their cubs back. Remember that when you grow up.
Yeah.
Remember that when you're hiking.
Yeah.
Don't become between a mother bear.
Don't
and her
come
cubs.
Between a mother bear and her cubs. Bear have been seen around the village this year in great number. I personally think I would sing if I saw a bear, just to let them know I haven't been put to the test yet, but so what I'm planning to do if I see a bear, I'm going to sing a mighty fortress. You're supposed to let them know you're a human being, and I think your singing is the quintessential way to do
this. And they'll know you're a human being.
Depends on what you sing.
Well, if you sing a mighty fortress, you're like, oh, you're a fortress. But you have to be trained about it. The bear responds with a table grace.
On the tape, he said, if the bear responds with a table grace.
Wow.
Is it?
Are we taping this?
Dan was going to try taping it. I don't know what kind of tape it will make. We'll see. And who will ever listen to it. But since the topic is relevant, the theme for this summer, we thought we'd put it on tape. The next image of God we're going to look at is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Thank you, John.
Yes. It really does say a lot, doesn't it?
I think you'll be safe, John.
Okay. Good. Deuteronomy 32. Verses 11 to 12. Talking about God having accomplished the Exodus, bringing the people out of slavery in Egypt and away from Pharaoh's armies so that they could become a community and eventually reach the promised land. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, takes them up, and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided Israel. No foreign god was with Israel. At the beginning of the giving of the Ten Commandments as well, it says, God says, remember, you saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Well, as I said, Donna King developed this Bible study, and she talked with an expert at Oregon State University about eagles and their customs. And she found out that this is particularly an image of a mother eagle. In fact, the King James Version here says, as an eagle stirs up her nest. The New Revised Standard hasn't seen fit to keep that reference. A mother eagle pulls down from her own breast, of course, to line the nest. And an eagle's nest is put up in a very high, safe place, far away from anyone who might want to prey on eagle's eggs or eagle nestlings, made of sticks. But to make the nest soft, she lines it with down from her own breast. There the eagles hatch and begin to grow and are fed by the mother bird and eventually develop their own plumage. And when it looks like they're about ready to start flying, the mother eagle stirs up. They go on their first flights. And while they're flying and trying to get the rhythm of flying, the mother eagle flies around skillfully nearby. And if the baby eagles lose their rhythm or get too tired, she actually comes up under them and carries them for a ways on her own wings, gliding, and then will drop out from underneath them when they seem ready to start flapping on their own again. Mm-hmm. On eagle's wings, the people were born into the desert. On eagle's wings. So, what is the image of God as eagle about? What are the verbs and adjectives you'd associate with that? How do you describe this mother eagle?
Motivator. Experienced.
Sharp stick.
Mm-hmm. Poker, you know, kick.
Poker, yeah.
Workshop leader.
Workshop leader.
Tough love.
Mm-hmm.
Watchful.
Strength.
Enabler.
Not in the chemical dependency sense.
In the sense of kind of a developmental approach.
Yeah.
Teacher.
Good sense of timing.
Safety net.
Oh.
That's good.
Letting go.
Letting go.
Oh.
letting others be independent. More.
Appropriately protective.
Appropriately protective.
Encourage.
Yeah, right.
Bears them up. Supportive.
Yeah.
That's good.
Inspires. Inspires.
Yeah.
Intuitive.
Intuitive.
You really have to sense it.
Optimist.
Optimist.
Yeah.
These kids will catch on sooner or later.
Starting a high,
good start in a high tree.
Well, it's the highest tree always.
Yeah. So good viewpoint up there. Yeah. Outlook, wide outlook, broad outlook.
See the big picture.
See the big picture.
There's not room. And you have the food source.
Out of room in the pie slices, huh?
The food source is down in the river, so it's a coming down and strength in the talons and stuff. There.
Right. You know a lot about eagles, too.
It's become my symbol this year. And if you look at a lot of eagle statues, the talons are what they're emphasizing, the strength when they, you know.
Strong grip.
Right. Power there.
Get a grip
there. Get a grip.
Tenacious.
Tenacious.
Modeler.
Modeler.
And you have a soaring. The freedom. Yeah.
Soaring and freedom. able to make good use of the air currents.
Aviator.
Aviator.
Yeah, I watched one for 5 minutes on over the parking lot, and I think it's flat, literally flap for strength or turns probably 3 times in that 5 minutes. Huh. It's a toy in the air.
Yeah.
Beautiful image. Now we'll go to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The image of God in this section is as of the woman who looks for the coins. God is the housekeeper. What's a housekeeper like? What's this housekeeper like? Just a minute, we'll come to Sharon.
So, housekeeper's orderly. This one is, anyhow. What else?
Thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Possessive.
Possessive.
Persevering.
Frugal.
Organized.
Frugal, but likes parties.
Organized.
Yes, yeah, celebrate.
Likes parties.
Yeah.
She had a party when she found bloody coin.
Celebrate.
For our neighborhood.
Hospitality to the neighborhood.
Makes use of tools.
Makes use of tools.
She's a searcher.
Searcher.
Down in the corners.
Looks in the corners.
Picker upper.
Compulsive.
Compulsive.
I see her as a servant of the family.
A servant of the family. A servant role, serving role.
Values and possessions.
Values what she owns, the possessions,
the things she has.
life left, and that's for your free choice. Think of how you like to think of God when you pray or sing hymns in the liturgy. Pick any of the other many, many, many ways we name God or talk about God, and write down what that's like, the adjectives, the nouns, the verbs. Whether it's shepherd or king or lamb or... What are some of our other favorite images among the people here in this room?
I needed a friend and a companion. I had everything with that, and that's what I needed.
A friend and a companion.
Confidant.
Confidant.
A king with high expectations.
A king with high expectations.
That is light.
Light.
Water.
Water.
Cleansing and life giving.
Creator.
Creator.
Singing healer.
Healer.
Brood hen.
Brooding hen.
Poet.
Yeah. Poet.
Poet.
Forgiver.
Forgiver.
One and only true love.
One and only true love.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional lover.
Listener.
Listener.
Life giver.
Life giver.
Dog.
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 Let's use dog for a minute.
Sit down an hour or two sometime. I'll tell you all
about it. What are the characteristics of a dog that might apply also to God?
Loyal.
Devoted.
Unconditional love.
Can't talk to you.
Loves no matter what.
Friendly
companion. Can't talk to you.
Takes more grief than
you. Oh, you
take some more grief.
The lowest and most humble of the humble.
Lowest and most humble of the humble. Servant of the servant. Mm-hmm.
Always happy to see you.
Always happy to see you.
No
one put down cat. No one put down cat, did they? Okay. Now, here's this. This was the first part of the Bible study. Now, the second and very important part of this Bible study is to look at your pie slice and circle all of the adjectives, nouns, and verbs that apply to you, that describe you. In all the different slices.
Well, that's fast. Absolutely.
Harry.
And so it turns out that we are made in the image of God. How do you feel about that?
Good. I'm excited.
Encouraged and excited.
I had, as I was reading our Bible, I had written in another Bible all the descriptions of God, and never once did I put it back to myself.
Did anybody else have that experience? She said that she wrote down the descriptions of God that she came across in the back of her Bible in a big list, and never once did she put it back on herself to see how it described her. Is this the first time for any others of you to make this connection like this?
I have often found that people that have loving fathers describe God in their father.
Yes. If we have loving fathers, then God as Father makes a lot of sense to us. Some of us who didn't have loving fathers also find a lot of sense in God as Father because we say, oh, that's what a father is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm. Most of us whose fathers have
And some of us who didn't have loving fathers have a lot of problem relating to that image. There are any number of ways that we can and do relate ourselves to these images, which I think is why it's important to have a variety of them. I did a retreat one time where we put all the letters of the alphabet up on the walls around the room and found pictures and magazines for each letter of the alphabet that would serve in some way as an image of God.
What did you do for X?
Oh, we did, of course. X. There aren't too many X words. X-ray, Xerox, xylophone. And excellent. I think maybe we did excellent too. We kind of cheated. What?
Xerox can be real good because that's a copy.
Yeah.
Xenos is strength.
Xenos is the Greek word for strength. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a Greek word.
Yeah, it is a Greek word.
Xenophobia.
Xenophobia. All right, there's one more third step now. Having seen how you're made in the image of God, I want you to make a little covenant right now.
Sneaking
back to my other topic for the week, covenant. How can you use these qualities or that you have in your character or these things that you do, these strengths and weaknesses of who you are, how can you use who you are to help yourself? To serve God by befriending yourself. Think of one way, or many ways, but at least one.
Okay, just say that again.
I'd like you to make a covenant with yourself to be the image of God for yourself in some particular way. And how can you live in this image of God that you've just described? Serve God by living in this image of God for your family and or for your friends, for your intimate community of people that you share your life with.